You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 66. We're talking late season ads today, and it is the type of podcast content we all need because you look out on the free agents and there's not a ton to get excited about, Steve. You got to squint this time of year, but love having you guys here with us, trying to take you down the home stretch with some actionable advice. And today we're going to be talking through a ton of names and just giving a quick rundown on whether we're buying a recent breakout or pretty much any advantage we think we can give, whether batters, pitchers. Steve, I feel like we need any advantage at all, as I'm in a food coma, you're in the throes of fatherhood. But it's going to be a fun show, man. I'm looking forward to it. How's it going over there?
It's good, man. Yeah, we were just saying let's save it for the show, but I don't know why I feel more fatigued with fantasy baseball now than I do like right before the All-Star break or even right after it. You kind of get a jolt of momentum from missing those games that week, but after this, it's like it's a drag, man. I was talking to King Hippo in the Discord. He just posted the other day. He's like, is anyone like completely drained out from fantasy baseball? It's like, yeah. Especially me, who's like a serial box score checker. You know, I check basically every at bat for most of my teams and know what's going on in every game all day long. It's a grind. And now is when it's starting to hit you. But I guess with that, there's some things to take advantage of, right? We always talk about how if you stick with it, like fantasy football is coming up and, you know, teams are, you know, out of it in head-to-head and roto league. So there's some advantages to be had. So while it's not like the early season breakouts or anything like that that you can jump on and guys like the Cedric Mullins of last year, but there's like the Tommy Edman from 2019, right? That comes along in August, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Things like that. So there's still value on your wire, right? Like I feel like at this point, like it's such a drain. Like you wake up, you look your waiver wire, it's the same guys. You don't want to add anyone, and it's like, what is this crap? Sorry, Nick. Excuse my language there, but what is this poop? You know, there's seemingly nothing there, but there's some diamonds in the rough. And some performances go easily overlooked because it is so far into the season. You know, we're almost two-thirds of the way done, basically.
Yeah, and it depends on format a little bit. But I think, at least in my home league, Steve, because we try to move up the playoffs to where it's not, you know, all the expanded rosters and people getting shut down for playoffs and everything. So we have like 3.5-4 weeks left. But on the other hand, we just had All-Star break. So like when we're doing off-season articles and talking about, you know, Jorge Soler starting in July 13th, completely turned it around and stuff, like that's only like 8 games ago or 10 games ago. So like I think there's still plenty of room, albeit, yeah, I mean, in terms of games played, we're a little bit deeper this year into the All-Star break. But I think there's some of these names here that you wouldn't be too surprised next year if everyone was like, oh, they really turned it on in the second half. And, you know, that's what we're trying to get out in front of, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know my home league does some things where, like, the finals and quarterfinals are two weeks long, so that shortens the season there. We try to miss that last week. I think it's just so that you're not getting all those games where nobody's playing and things like that. I think it's a little different this year that like the season ends on like a Monday or Tuesday, so like you kind of can just skip that Monday and Tuesday and hopefully not get too many of those games if you go up to that Sunday. But still, it gets real late, real early in fantasy baseball. So
yeah,
awesome. We're to it. This is our last July show. So believe it or not, we're in the final 2 months of baseball season, essentially.
The grind is on, and thank you guys for joining. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I'm at Van_verified, and Steve is at Stav8818. You guys feel free this time of year. Anything you want on the show, feel free to email us, winsabovefantasy@gmail.com. Happy to bring any of your personal circumstances on the show and talk through some advice. But yeah, Steve, we're talking late season ads, and we talked about kind of the preface of this show is just how thin it seems like it's getting out there. And it's like, you know, you read articles or you listen around the industry, and like, it's kind of universal consent that, well, yeah, if you want to add this guy, go ahead. But it's kind of getting toward that desperation part of the season. I think we still have to do our diligence on if they're making any adjustments, if we're seeing play discipline improvements, things of that nature. But for the most part, you probably are seeing guys on the wire that at one point you've rostered already this season, and other people have as well. So we've got a lot of names, and because of the nature of this kind of being lightning in the bottle a little bit, we have a lot more names than usual, and we probably won't go quite as deep. But with that said, let's jump in and start with the hitters. And I paired a couple Phillies here, Steve, and maybe starting with the one who's rostered by more managers. It's Alec Bohm, who is 35% rostered in Yahoo leagues. And Bohm is kind of a post-type sleeper a little bit. A lot of people were excited about the hit tool when he came up. He never really put the power with it, and then the hit tool itself wasn't as reliable. So I think the industry really kind of fell off Bohm and has been slow to buy the success he's had this season. Now, it might be a little hollow batting average. The season line, 290, just 6 homers, 1 steal, 45 runs is not bad, 37 RBI, and a 723 OPS. But the past month, Bohm has just been on fire. Going into today, he had been hitting 415 over the past 30 days with a 1012 OPS and 2 of those 6 homers. So again, not quite as sweet on like a 5x5 league because he's not getting you kind of the power speed, but I believe he had a big day today as well. I think he went 2 for 4 with, I want to say a couple RBIs, single, double. So any interest on Alec Bohm, Steve? Third is always kind of a scarce position. What are your thoughts here? Are you buying it? Are you streaming it? What are you thinking with Bohm?
Yeah, it just seems like there's a lot of growing pains going on, and he's trying to figure it out and trying to put it all together. And I guess it has me mildly intrigued, right? Like, there's a lot of good signs. Like, he's cut down the K rate. This year it's under 20%. He's also cut down his ground ball rate. It was at 53% last year. It's down to 45%. So we'd love to see that. He's trading that for fly balls and line drives. But, you know, with that, the hard hit percentage is down from about 40% last year, 38% last year, to just 30%. So, you know, it seems like he's making more contact, but that contact isn't as good. So it seems like if he could like pair last year's, you know, power skills where he was hitting the ball harder with the plate discipline gains from this year and the better ground ball rate and fly ball and line drive rate, then there could be a breakout. So it's like he's kind of piecing it all together. Right now you're getting that good average, and maybe he's tapping into it a little bit. Well, like you said, this month he's got 2 home runs, an OPS over 1,000. But you know, I it's still just 2 home runs because the actual hard hit percentage, he's not, you know, barreling up the ball like we would hope. But that really gives me hope for Bohm as a sleeper for 2023. But for now, it might just be like an empty batting average. But, you know, the Phillies' offense have been a lot better since they fired Girardi, and since June as a whole, they've been better as a team. So definitely worth it as like a corner infield now, but I just don't think it might not be like, you know, Alec Bohm power surge in the second half. I think that might be more of an off-season thing that he pairs it together with the batted ball metrics from last year and the plate discipline games from this year, ideally.
Yeah, spot on. Last year, he ended the season in August. He had a 10% barrel rate. He started this season in April, had an 11% barrel rate. And in June and July, it's averaged out to like a 5% barrel rate. So it definitely sounds a lot like the narrative that you're painting. That said, if you're in a pinch, you've got the Pirates on his next series, then he's got Atlanta, but then he's got Washington. So it might be a stream following Washington. It is the Marlins and the Mets, so some tougher pitching matchups there. But let's move over to his teammate, Bryson Stott, because this is a guy, Steve, we were watching pretty closely. I believe he had a huge spring, and we were waiting to see if he was going to get a starting role, and I think he might have made the roster but got sent down pretty quick. And in general, on the season, it looks pretty ugly. Batting 193, just a 590 OPS, 7 homers, 3 steals, so offering a little bit more than Bohm in kind of the power speed department, and I believe his minor league stats kind of reflect that as well. The past 2 weeks for Bryson Stott, just a 250 average, but a 930 OPS, and he's now getting moved up, hitting in the middle part of the order. So there's some interesting things with Stott. I think maybe the biggest is the plate discipline gains, where he's taking more walks and the strikeout rate has just gone way down. So he's definitely maturing kind of at his young age with his plate approach. And there, it feels like there might be a little bit more of that unknown ceiling here, to where I think the roster ship, because Stott is just 7% rostered, Bohm is 35%. I don't think the difference between the two in my book should be that large. Like, I don't think Bohm should be rostered 5 times more than Stott, but maybe I'm biased because I know we were kind of hyping him up before this season. What are your thoughts on Bryson Stott?
Yeah, I think that's just a factor of the fact that you see a slash line of a 193 average and a 590 OPS. But a little would you rather, I would rather have Bryson Stott than Alec Bohm. You look at his rolling graphs on Fangraphs, I just have a simple one of wOBA and hard hit percentage. You just see the hard hit percentage basically shoot up from like game number 45 to now at game 61, you know, his 15 game rolling hard hit percentage is at 42%, whereas, you know, for the most of the year it was at down like 17%, 20%, so not good. And then with that, his wOBA has just skyrocketed up. So you look at the Savant page, all of the batted ball metrics are, you know, ice cold blue, but there's some nice, plate discipline skills, like, you know, the whiff percentage is really good. The chase rate is really good. He's not striking out that much. He takes a walk as well. And he's got that 89 percentile sprint speed. So, he was sent down earlier. I think there was an injury too. But I think this is a great, you know, power speed combo profile that's really, you know, kind of figuring it out. And the fact that with his struggles on the year, he still just had an 18.4% K rate and 8.8% walk rate, so better than league average on both. I am really, really interested in Bryson Stott. I know he's just got 7 barrels, but I'm sure most of those have come in that last month or the last 2 weeks that you're talking about there, where he's had that 930 OPS. So I am really, really intrigued by Bryson Stott.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. And today as well, I know we're kind of micro analysis here, but 1-for-3 with a run scored, a walk, no strikeouts. He's got like 2 strikeouts in his past 10 games. So that's really encouraging, the type of stuff you want to see. So Stott has obviously the same matchups Bohm has coming up with at Pittsburgh, at Atlanta, and then Washington. So another one that could be a worthwhile stream. Let's talk catcher, Steve. And Carson Kelly is another guy who has been on an absolute tear the past month, batting 368 and 1131 OPS, 4 homers in that stretch, 12 RBIs as well. And now he's been leading off against lefties, which is really interesting considering he's a catcher and his season batting average is 218, which is really low. But Carson Kelly is another one who's kind of a post-hype sleeper. I know there was a ton of buzz with the Cardinals, and now it seems like they're giving him the run, and he's making the most of it. So what are your thoughts on Carson Kelly here? You're kind of the master of the catcher carousel, so curious on your take on this one.
Yeah, there was a time where Kelly, he's had flashes like this, right? Like, I think it was in 2019, he was like one of the better catchers for stretch, and I think he got hurt. Yeah, it was 2019. He had a 339 wOBA, close to an 8% Bauer rate, and there was pretty exciting stuff with Kelly back then. And then he was hurt, and then 2020 wasn't great, and same thing sort of happened last year. I think he was even hot for a small stretch last year too. But when he's healthy, he kind of does hit pretty well. And it's funny, this and the next catcher we're talking about, I was actually, just looking at hitters in my home league and sorted by like the last 30 and went by the Fantrax scoring and who were the two best hitters. It was Carson Kelly and the next guy that we'll talk about as a little teaser there. So, I'm absolutely thinking about it. I've debated adding Kelly and the next guy for William Contreras in my home league, just because Contreras doesn't, play that often, and it's kind of cooled off, and he's kind of the opposite of Bryson Stott, where he had that really, really good stretch and had has an OPS well over 800, but it's being carried by his like April and May. So I think it might be time to add one of these two for me coming up soon. But I really like Kelly. It seems like when he's in there, he hits and is a good hitter. He doesn't kill you with strikeouts. He's taken a walk in the past. He isn't walking as much this year, but again, it's still only 161 plate appearances because he's been injured, but five home runs in that time, that prorates out for a catcher to like 15 to 18 homers, which would be really good. So I like Kelly a lot and think he's worth a ride on the catcher carousel if you're riding it like I am.
Yeah, he had those 18 homers in the 2019 season you're talking about. Yeah, and really the biggest difference is all of his seasons leading up to that 2019 season, pretty much his time with the Cardinals, he was around like a 60% ground ball rate. Since he went to the D-backs, it dropped to 37%, 41%, 31% on the ground ball rate. So he's traded all of that out for line drives, fly balls, obviously. And yeah, I think this one is really interesting. Just 16%.
He had 13 homers in 98 games last year too. So, on a rate basis, he's been really, really good. Those 18 homers only came in 314 at-bats in 2019 too, so...
Yeah, definitely a per-game pace that's right up there with any catcher. So, next series is at Atlanta, which if you can stomach that one, then he's got Cleveland, the Rockies at home, Pittsburgh at home, and then at Coors. So definitely some great matchups there after Atlanta. But talk about Cal Raleigh, Steve. Similar roster rate with Yahoo at just 15% rostered. But he's another guy who's kind of been turning it on. What are you seeing with Raleigh? And then I might put you on the spot between the two of these guys.
I mean, there was some hype with Raleigh last year too, right? I think he was, hitting, well above 300 at AAA last year and was sort of another guy that was, sort of hyped up, not to the level of Jared Kelenic, but, they were kind of killing it for Tacoma there for the Seattle minor league system last year. He kind of came up last year, played a decent amount, had 47 games and fell flat on his face. It was a slow start this year, but I mean, he's another guy with, talk about pop at the catcher position. He's got 14 home runs and 209 at bats this year, and is basically widely available in, all 12 or 10 leagues or, one catcher leagues. I know Yahoo's one catcher league, so that holds that roster ship percentage down. Like, Kelly and Raleigh are definitely scooped up in all two catcher leagues, but these guys are approaching one catcher viability. In the last 30 days, Raleigh has five home runs, a 780 OPS. He's a starting catcher for the Mariners, and has really sort of become that, not going to kill you in batting average for a catcher, but is going to help you in all the power categories. 14 home runs for a catcher so far is no joke, and most of those have come since basically May, June, where he got off to that really, really dreadful start. I'll pull up his splits now, but I really like Cal Raleigh and would consider adding him in most one catcher leagues.
Yeah. And since we're talking upcoming matchups on everybody while you're looking at that, he's got the Astros on the road, then at New York against the Yankees, and then home against the Angels. Yeah. So a little bit tougher of a stretch there.
In April, he hit 083 in 24 at-bats. In May, he hit 167 with three home runs in 42 at-bats. And then in June, it was 250 with six home runs, and then 238 so far in July with another four home runs. So
serviceable.
Yeah, very, very – more than serviceable with those 10 home runs and, you know, essentially a 245 batting average over the last 2 months. So – playing for the most part every day, for a catcher, that is, he's going to sit the day after night games, whatever, but the Mariners have been good. Their offense have been better. It's a good ad.
Would you lean Kelly in the short term just because of the matchups?
Probably though. Yankee Stadium is a nice place to go to. I know he is, he's a righty though. So, he's a switch hitter. What is this? Fangraphs has bats B. What is that?
Both.
I thought it's usually S for switch. He's a switch hitter. Even better. So, I think I like, this is a cop out. Like, I like Raleigh for power. Kelly, okay, for a little bit more of an average floor. And Kelly is playing mostly like sometimes they get Varsho back there. I know he's probably playing mostly in the outfield. So Raleigh might be a little bit safer with ABs, but they're getting around the same amount of at bats. I guess I'd go Kelly for the matchups. Yeah, that's a tiebreaker, with the caveat that, like, if you need strictly homers and can stomach the batting average,
Go Raleigh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to work on a segue to get to Josh Naylor, the next guy, Steve, but my phone just lit up that he just hit another home run.
Nice.
His 14th of the season. Coming into tonight, Josh Naylor was batting 280 with 13 homers, 2 steals, 31 runs, 52 RBIs, and 832 OPS. We talked about Naylor a lot, Steve, and just how good the plate discipline has been. It's just surprising to me that still just 53% rostered on Yahoo. I know the Guardians aren't a great offense, but he's right there batting like third or fourth in the order. And he's red hot right now. 4 multi-hit games in his last 6. I mean, to me, it just seems like this is a no-brainer, especially in like a points league. But I'm in on Josh Naylor. I know it's probably deeper leagues because of that 53% roster rate there, but what are your thoughts on Naylor, and do you see this as a guy who deserves a little bit more respect and attention next year in the draft rooms?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it's kind of gone under the radar. He was on the IL for a bit, yeah, right? There was two, like, separate stints, games. I think.
Yeah.
So had that not happened, like, you know, he'd probably be closer to like 20 home runs with, you know, this is 830 OPS. Like, there's really not much to like, you know, not to like. He's got under a 16% strikeout rate. He takes a walk at 7%. And all the batted ball metrics are, you know, essentially like the 65th percentile or better. Barrels up the ball well, doesn't swing and miss that much. This is a really, really good under the radar play for next year, because I just think that the counting stats might not be there. Who knows? Maybe there's another 13 home runs and he gets close to 30 over the next 2 months, and we're talking about Naylor as like a top 150 pick. But he's quietly put together a really, really good season with the underlying metrics to back it up. A 9.2 barrel rate is no joke.
Yeah, Yeah, kind of a Statcast darling, and he's only just 25. He was a
first rounder, yeah,
back in 2015. So, yeah, I think it's time we kind of pay closer attention to Naylor, and his 16% K rate is fantastic. So, I'm with you. All systems go there. Upcoming games for Naylor, he does have road matchups against the Rays, and then the Diamondbacks, the Astros, and then on the road against the Tigers. So, some good, some bad there. Speaking of Tigers, let's go to Jaime Candelario, just 7% rostered on Yahoo, but I promise that's climbing as we speak because Candelario's been on fire. He had, coming into tonight, I guess on, Tuesday and Monday, I want to say, three homers in his past two games, and I believe Candelario did some damage as well today. Let me check real quick. Great radio. 3-for-4 with two singles, a double, and two RBIs, so Candelario's hot, and he had a really good second half last year. The season line's not really looking pretty with just a .207 batting average. He does have 10 home runs, but the past month, a .910 OPS. I think Candelario's pretty interesting, Steve. He just got grabbed in my home league, and I was kind of bummed about it because I had Stanton go on the IL. Is this, you know, it's hard to get too excited about Candelario because he's always kind of that revolving waiver wire guy who's been on nine teams roster at some point in the season in your league. But what are you thinking? Is this at least a ride the wave until he cools off, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a ride the wave. I just don't know how much longer that's going to be. I know a lot of people liked Candelario as a sleeper last year or heading into this year in draft season. I know Gray at Razzball wrote up a sleeper post on him, and there was a good amount of reason. You know, that second half was impressive, and there were some good underlying metrics. You know, the max exit velocity was good. The XBA backed up, you know, that 280s average that he had, and had close to an 800 OPS last year. He hit 270 last year. But still, that's really good, especially in this run environment. Coming off a year in 2020 where he hit close to 300 with an 872 OPS. So, I understand why there was some hype. Who knows? Maybe he might be sort of the second half player. You know, that 2020 was technically in the second half. So, that there could be something to that there for some soft analysis. But he's been good, you know, has shown that he can go on runs that are more extended than this week. But I'm sort of turned off by the fact that the first half was so bad. You know, none of the underlying metrics were that good, except for the barrel percentage. That was in the 70th percentile. He's got a 10.4% barrel rate. So there I am, making myself disagree with what I think. That's something to look to. So over the last 3 years, it's been 10.3%, 9%, and 10.4%. And it's not like the K rate has skyrocketed or anything like that. So who knows? There could be a run here. I like it the more I look into it.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a head scratcher because you look at, like, you know, his plate discipline is good enough for being kind of like a bigger power guy. But, I think it's probably the hard hit rate isn't very high, despite, like, when you see 10% barrel rate, it's surprising to see, like, on Savant, like, a 36% hard hit. And then, you know, even the ground balls at, like, 41% is not terrible. It just, he must just have a lot of kind of, you know, loud outs and warning track power and stuff like that. But, yeah, last year it was impressive in the second half, 11 homers and like an 880 OPS. So if he can replicate something like that, he's only 28 years old.
There's two things that might have been going against him in the first half. One, Detroit is like the worst place to hit for baseball.
Cold weather and everything.
And cold
just
weather.
In general. Yeah.
And two, the deadened balls might have hurt a guy like Candelario that's kind of got fringe power and needs to get the most out of his barrels. And if those barrels are losing 10 to 15 feet and maybe 20 feet in the colder weather when the humidor is working against him, this might be the exact type of player that it hurts. But now that it's warm and, you know, there's rumors of the juice balls being back and things like that, maybe this could help Candelario go on a run here.
We'll talk about some more hot hitters in a second, but first we're going to take a real quick ad break and we'll be right back.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
All right, so Steve, you're going to like these next two here because they've got the Steve Gisuelli stamp of approval. Steven Kwan, man, it's been a roller coaster as someone who's rostered him all year. 36% rostered in Yahoo, and he is on the rise. Kwan, don't look now, Steve, batting .295 on the season. Sure, just two home runs, seven steals, I think is, you know, more than you would hope for at this stage of the season from where we're at preseason. Great runs, not as great on RBIs with 46 runs, 27 RBIs. And you're not really counting on Kwan for an OPS, but it's .750 on the season. Past 2 weeks, Kwan is hitting .356 with an .872 OPS, mainly because he's just going nuts with all these multi-hit games, eight-game hitting streak. Back to batting leadoff, your thoughts on Steven Kwan? Is he a must add if you're in a points league or if you're looking for batting average help?
Yeah, you're not going to hear from me otherwise. It's been a fun run for him, and I think that, you know, that's sort of what this profile provides you. You know, like, there's going to be stretches where, you know, there's no power and he's hitting, you know, at worst 250, 270, but when he's going, it's going to look like this. You know, he even popped a homer. I think there was another one that, like, went off the very top of the wall where he would have had, you know, two homers in four games or something like that recently. But, you know, it's really going to help you in batting average. You know, the .295 on the season is no joke. I was hoping, and, you know, my preseason bowl prediction would be, like, you know, he would have had, you know, six or seven homers at this point. The steal is kind of in line with what I was hoping for, but, you know, no one really saw how dead this ball was going to be. And, you know, a guy that is a, you know, a slap hitter like Kwan isn't going to, you know, come close to even 15 home runs, which was, you know, the pie in the sky wish casting dream I had for Kwan there. But that being said, like, there's no reason why he shouldn't be on most teams with that average that he's going to provide you and the runs that'll come along with it. And he's been definitely a nice surprise in steals and has had a few recently. I think there was, like, a point in May where he really only had, like, one stolen base. So a lot of that has come in the recent months and have definitely been a nice trend to see.
Yeah, what's great about Kwan is even when it's bad, there's such a cushion. You know, he'll go 1-for-4. You know, you're not getting those 0-for-8
strike out. Yeah,
two-game stretches. He puts the bat on the ball. And, yeah, I think he's a really good glue guy to just kind of preserve some of your ratio stats and everything.
He's got a 117 WRC plus with two home runs. That's impressive.
That's all I need to say. He does have the Rays on the road next, so tough opponent there. Then the D-backs, then the Astros, then at Detroit. We just kind of talked that through with Josh Naylor. So a couple good ones, a couple bad ones, but yep, I'm with you on Kwan. Let's talk about the next guy, Steve, who you have also been hyping up. This is a big tip of the cap, Steve, because this is a guy who is now 61% rostered in Yahoo and counting. And I think when you brought him up on the show as a little testimonial for our listeners, it was probably three or four episodes back, and it was like 1% rostered. I think I might have been making fun of you of like, who we got here, Steve? Ramon Urias for the Orioles, who in and of themselves have been an awesome surprise this season. Urias is batting .268 on the year with 11 homers, 33 runs, 36 RBIs, a .778 OPS. And in the past month has been white hot, batting .397 with an .1133 OPS. 8-game hitting streak right there with Kwan on how hot he is. 6 of his last 11 games, multi-hit. It was a great call, Steve, and I think there's still time for a lot of managers to jump on board. If we think that, I mean, of course, it's not going to stay how it's been in the past 3-4 weeks, but is this legit from Ramon Urias?
Luis Urias' brother. I did not know that until they both homered yesterday for like the second or third time in their major league career, which is pretty cool. I like it. How much of that 61% is the WAF bump? You know, we got to give ourselves some credit there. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll take a couple.
We'll take a few percentage points there at least. But, yeah, the Orioles have been really good. And Urias has what looks like some legit power. It's backed up by, a really, really good Statcast page. 89th percentile hard hit percentage, 72nd percentile on average exit velocity, and 68th percentile on barrel rate. That's good stuff. You know, you love to see that as sort of a non-flash in the pan type of thing. And another guy that doesn't really kill you with strikeouts at just 22%, 48% hard hit rate. You like to see that. And it's backed up by the X stats too, a .269 XBA and a .453 X slug. So, if you need middle infield help, I know I did. I made a few trades and slide in Urias as a shortstop, third base. I think in Yahoo he's got second and third and short, so three, like all around the diamond. In Fantrax, at least, that's the case. Yahoo has at least third and short, so I like it a lot, and that 61% is probably boosted by the fact that he's been on such a tear recently. But 1133 OPS over the last month, you love to see it, and think Urias is worth a roster spot if he's not already scooped up in your league.
Yeah, and he has the potential to keep doing more damage with the upcoming matchups at Cincinnati, at the Rangers, and then home in Camden against the Pirates. So three pretty tasty matchups there for Urias, so definitely jump on that. Let's segue over to a smaller victory lap, Steve, one that's only a week old, but we talked about Luis Renjifo for the Angels, just 5% rostered. He's definitely a deep league option. Again, kind of a glue guy, kind of a, you know, you're not getting as many homers and steals here, but on the season, now batting .268 with a .715 OPS, and really he just keeps on hitting. When we talked about him last week, we were saying, this is a guy who could benefit from the Angels' cushy schedule. And so far, he's making good on it. I mean, past couple weeks, he's batting .400 with a .948 OPS. Past month, batting .321 with an .812 OPS. He's actually getting some run up in the top three, four in the batting order. So I think Renjifo is pretty interesting. I mean, I've watched him. I'm sure you have, Steve, with all the Ohtani shares in the West Coast games. But he's kind of a spark plug player. I think he's pretty fun to watch. And I'm not saying it should be much higher because it's, you know, there's not the power speed. But I think he's a guy who you could plug into your lineup for a week or two to get some hits. What do you think on Renjifo?
Yeah, this is a good play. Definitely a deep league play. I wonder what his roster ship percentage on NFBC is. I could look that up in a second. But, probably a decent ad there over the last month. It's funny, like he's been like this Angels second best hitter and he's got a .703 OPS. Taylor Ward has been pretty bad since he had that shoulder injury in mid-May, which has been a shame and kind of coincides with when the Angels became a dumpster fire, right? Like they were sitting in a playoff position basically through May and then have won like five games since, like the only games that Ohtani started. I saw a stat. It was like They won the other day, and it was the first time that they won in a non-Ohtani start since, like, July 6th or something like that. It was just absolutely crazy. But I think Renifo's a nice little player here. There's some, you know, improvements in his exit velocity. It's nothing elite or anything like that, but he's hitting the ball harder. Best hard hit rate of his career. Still just at 34%, but goes to show you, you don't need to do much to be the second best hitter on the Angels. I like it as a deeper play. I wouldn't be scrambling to add him in a 10 or 12 team league and anything like that, but definitely in like 14 or deeper.
Yeah, and we talked last week about the strength of schedules and some of the advantages across the league. If you guys missed that show, you can go back and check it out. But the Angels have some of the best hitter matchups the rest of the season, and the upcoming ones for Renifo are the Rangers, the A's, at Seattle, and then at Oakland again. So gets the Athletics there twice in the next four matchups. So
yeah, and Oakland's been pitching pretty well, but I think those pitchers, you know, Cole Irvin, who we're going to talk about, Montas, will probably be gone. So you might be getting some AAA pitchers there to make that even juicier.
Yeah, totally. I think the last one here before – oh, no, I guess we got a couple more. But Nico Hoerner is another guy who's kind of been, you know, up and down throughout the season, now rostered at 53% of leagues in Yahoo. And Horner's another one that kind of in the same school as Josh Naylor. I think we need to start viewing him as potentially a guy next year that's worth a little bit of a bump on draft season. His season line so far is 306, six homers, 10 steals, kind of in that Stephen Kwan line that you were talking about, Steve, and a 780 OPS on the season. That's been propped up by the past month where Hoerner has batted 330 with an 855 OPS, four steals in that time. He's batting fifth most games. He'll probably move up the order even more, assuming the Cubs sell before the deadline, whether that's Happ or Contreras or whatever it is. But Nico Hoerner is pretty interesting. I think, you know, again, this is probably a guy who's rostered in most like 15-team leagues, but even in shallow leagues, I think this is a good option to get you another handful of steals the rest of the season and really help with average.
Yeah, I sort of threw it away and didn't really pay attention just because the barrel rate's so bad, the hard hit rate isn't great, and I think we've talked about that too. Like, that's like, you know, you fall victim and miss a player who might not barrel up the ball or, you know, have the elite exit velocity, but is still a good player, and that's exactly what I think Nico Hoerner is. He definitely gets the most out of it. Like, to have the six home runs with just three barrels is impressive. But, you know, that's fine there, like, right? Like, he's going to end up with probably a 10 at 18 steal season. Like, that's really, really good. And with a guy that has that kind of batting average skill, like, it's Stephen Kwan with a little more pop. Like, I should be all over this and will be next year. And he's coming into his age, you know, 25 seasons, so there might be a little bit of power growth there as he enters his power prime. I like it a lot. Yeah, he's rostered in most of the 14 team and under that I'm in. But if he's out there in shallower leagues, I definitely think he's worth a shot. And, you know, it probably will bat like third or something, right? And definitely the top third of the order once those guys are traded out of Chicago. So should be some nice at least lineup placement boost there.
Yeah, I think last note is just his spray charts are almost perfect for someone with his hit tool because he really hits to all fields, but the power he does have is dead pull. So he strikes me as a guy who just, you know, he's not kind of blindly swinging. It seems like he's kind of a hitter's hitter.
That's how you make the most out of eight barrels is you pull the ball, right? Like and get the most out of them. That's
exactly.
A great call there.
Yeah. All right. Well, these last two are much deeper. I think we can probably pair them together. But if you're looking for some speed, We got Victor Robles, who has really fallen off the face of the earth as a fantasy darling, but the season line has been bad, which is why he's just 3% rostered. Betting 243. He does have 12 steals on the season, just three homers, a 629 OPS. But the past 2 weeks, Steve, betting 313 with an 813 OPS. He's got three steals during that time frame. I know it's a really small sample size. Leading off the past two games, though, after batting ninth in the order, just curious if there's anything with Robles. And then the last one, had to shout out former Peoria Chief Magnerius Sierra, 0% rostered, but the contract was purchased by the Angels. He replaced Jonathan Villar, and he was actually really good in AAA leading up to that with a 295 average, 356 OBP. And yeah, his first full game with the Angels, he went 2-for-4 with two steals. 11 steals last year with the Marlins, so there's a little bit of speed for Sierra. Between Sierra and Robles, does either one of these interest you, or are you kind of taking a hard pass on these two?
If I needed speed, I would definitely be adding Robles. Not much else. I think it just might be a bit of a hot run here. Victor Robles has to be the award for the worst Statcast page, like in the Statcast era. Like, it's just always like 1% average exit velocity, 1% hard hit percentage. It's crazy. You know, for a former top prospect, that just he was like literally right. Like,
wasn't
like,
everybody talking? Yeah, oh yeah, he was.
It was like
was
him. It was like Vlad, and then Victor Robles was like two, right? That was crazy.
Totally. And then there was all the debate about like, well, what about when he's bunting or like, yeah, you know, yeah, is yeah. that killing his X stats and all that?
He just cannot hit the ball hard, consistently at least. But sure, it's nice to see the 12 stolen bases, because like there was times when he was like this, like where he like wasn't even running, right? In some years past, right? You know, he had 12 steals combined. I know that there was a shortened season, but a guy with his sort of sprint speed, it's crazy. After that 28 steal season in 2019, when he had 17 home runs too, oh my God, I was victim of that. I bought into that for the last 2 years, and finally this year, gave it up. But you know, last year those 8 stolen bases came with 6 caught stealing too. He's only been caught once this year, so yeah, it's a good source of cheap speed. Other than that, not really much interested. Sierra, I think, is a cool call. It was impressive numbers at AAA. Extremely small sample, but he has a 50% hard hit rate. I think it's only like 4 batted balls, but still, hey, another guy that might be a little bit better at hard contact than Victor Robles, who could steal you some bases too. So
yeah, probably
worth a flyer in like extremely deep, like only leagues.
Yeah, or that might be an NFBC one if you're like desperate yeah. for steals and you want to just see where this goes with the Angels and their dumpster fire offense. So let's shift over to pitching, Steve. And you talked about how Cole Irvin with the A's has been pitching better, just 35% rostered in Yahoo. And it's looked good over 102 innings, just 70 Ks, but the 3.08 ERA and a 1.07 WHIP. What do you see with Cole Irvin here, especially if he gets moved? This might be someone who's kind of getting scooped up more and more if he lands on a good squad.
Yeah, I streamed him for that start in Texas. He was amazing, and then dropped him because it was the Astros, but he just absolutely owns the Astros. He's faced them 3 out of the last 4 starts. I think he's gone at least 5 1/3 innings and hasn't given up more than 2 runs versus them. It's
wow,
absolutely crazy and really impressive. The last month in July, he's had 27 innings pitched, a 1.67 ERA, 18 strikeouts and 2 walks. So he's not going to strike out the world. You know, the indicators, you know, tell you that. They all say he should be around anywhere from a 4.30 ERA to a 4.57, although FIP, you know, the simplest one gives him a 3.79 to back up that 3.08 ERA. But sure, you know, if he gets traded, he's probably going to go to a worse park context. But I think could be sort of still valuable. I am really, really regretting that I dropped him in my home league. Just because I traded away some pitching for some hitting recently, and this could have seemed like it could be a nice little under the radar stopgap there. But, you know, it's like a Chris Bassett light, like Oakland for as bad as they are, right? Like they develop these guys. Like I know Blackburn was their all-star and has sort of faltered lately, but they just develop these guys with non-elite care rate and don't really walk anybody and just sort of get results. I know that some of that is the ballpark, but you know, it took forever for people to buy into Bassett, and you know, he's been really, really good the last few years, and even more so this year, where he's pitched like a, you know, a fantasy 2-3 essentially for the whole year. I know he had a rough patch and an injury, but the A's sort of produce these guys pretty well, so I think Irvin might be the next one of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great comp, and you're right. I mean, two seasons in, people were still like, oh, it's not real with Bassett, right? And then, you know, suddenly this offseason he goes to the Mets and he's getting drafted at like 120 instead of in the 200s and stuff. So, yeah, it'll be really interesting to see if Cole Irvin does get moved. If he does not, he's in line for the Angels next, which, again, is a plus matchup there with Renhifo being their second-best hitter as of late. So, let's stay in the West and talk about Mitch White, who he did just get optioned to the minors, Steve, as Andrew Heaney made his start on Wednesday coming off the IL. I believe it was a good start for Heaney as well. But with Mitch White, he goes down. Do we think he's going to come back up? Because if you take out one blip against the St. Louis Cardinals over his last like five starts, the ERA is around like two. He's not a huge strikeout guy, but he does get a decent amount of volume there. He had that no-hitter going for a while where he pitched well above 100 pitches in that game. And yeah, 56 innings this season, a 370 ERA. What are your thoughts on Mitch White if we hear word that he's back up for whether it's injury or whatever the case? Is this someone you're interested in to round out the rotation?
Yeah, there was a quote that went around yesterday by a few Dodgers beat reporters. Like there was some speculation that the Dodgers would use him as their new Ross Stripling, and literally Dave Roberts said, "Yeah, he's our new Ross Stripling. We're going to use him like that." So, Stripling, you know, if you remember when he was with the Dodgers, you were always hoping that he got a start and like he spot started, was a bulk guy, and was really good. I think that that's kind of what Mitch White can be and will be, like a guy that even if he's not in the rotation can provide some fantasy value, right? Like they'll
six
use him when they want to,
or something. Yeah.
You know, they need some without Buehler, especially, right? Like they need to save some guys for the playoffs. I know Urias, they always, you know, they don't need to baby him like they did in years past. He pitched, you know, I think like close to 200 innings last year, 180 innings last year. So should be fine, but they'll definitely need him, right? I know Dustin May is coming back. Andrew Heaney is another guy who's been great and made his return today. Pitched four shutout innings, but they're going to need him to start and have bulk roles. So I think he'll be back up and is worth at least a watch list or like a minor stash if you have him.
Yeah, I think it's a good name to just keep an eye on. And yeah, the Stripling factor, and it's hilarious they're making that official. But yeah, Stripling, that role is definitely valuable in a handful of different ways. So let's talk about another Mitch Keller. Steve, talk about the post hype. It seems like ages ago when everyone was super fired up about what was his video in the preseason hitting like 101. And now the velo is way down, but he's looked better and better as of late. His past three starts, especially at Miami, in Coors, and then Miami again. So not the best offenses, but he went 7-6-6. So going deep into games, he's still getting about a strikeout an inning. And Keller is just, you know, it's that time of year where you're looking for help from anywhere. And Mitch Keller is a guy who's been on the fantasy radar for three or four seasons. Do you think this could be legit for Keller and it's finally kind of breaking out, or do you think this is more flash in the pan and kind of the Nick Pollock, every now and then you get some good starts, but that's mixed in with the rest of it, right?
Yeah, it's to be the a waffler here. No pun intended on our name.
Sounds like a segment. I think it's for us.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. The fact that he's only walked three guys in the last 25 innings pitch is encouraging.
Yeah.
Those four starts were one versus the Yankees, two versus Miami, and one at Colorado. Miami has been like the absolute worst offense recently, and I think overall in the year they might be the worst now.
Mm-hmm.
They've just been an absolute dumpster fire. So I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they've been two starts versus Miami. So I'm not scrambling to add or hold Mitch Keller simply due to that reason. I really don't think he'll be super viable until he's off the Pirates, unfortunately. Just might be another one of those guys that break out once they leave the Pirates, unfortunately. So it's been good. The no walks are encouraging, but I'm still scared of basically any time he can go out, even in a good matchup, I could see him giving up six earned runs with five walks, you know, something like that.
Yep, he will get the Phillies on Saturday, so that will be another good one to watch. But the Phillies haven't been they've been better, but yeah, it's I think we're continuing to see. I guess my point is, if Keller can put five or six of these together, then I think we're going to be hearing a lot more about him in the offseason yet again, just because it is Mitch Keller. So I'll be watching closely on what happens in that start against the Phillies and maybe streaming him into the playoffs given the matchups. We got to talk about Jansen Junk, Steve, because this is the best name you can possibly have as a pitcher. And he debuted for the Angels tonight against the Royals. Five shutout innings, eight strikeouts, and got the win. Just a one whip on that game. 3.88 ERA and 10 starts at AAA. And just scouring Twitter, people are asking Eno, like, hey, what's going on with the model? He looked good. And Eno had good things to say. He said he likes the fastball slider combo and that the curve was good today. But he's not like a huge pedigree guy. He's never had a huge K per nine in, you know, across minors. But he was with the Yankees until he went to the Angels. And yeah, kind of a late bloomer here, 26-year-old Jansen Junk. What are we seeing here? I mean, this is obviously very deep, but so far so good on the first outing.
I joked in the Discord that I said I was going to be very, very upset if Jansen Junk threw any harder than 90 miles an hour. And, you know, he's got a 93-mile-an-hour fastball, so not quite the junk baller that I was hoping for. But still, it's been impressive. I know it's the Royals, but, you know, the Angels, their pitching has been a disaster, too, other than basically Ohtani and Sandoval, too. And another guy we'll talk about in a little bit who's been a lot better recently, who's more interesting, but who knows. I'm not scrambling to go at him after the start, mainly because it was at KC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the eight strikeouts are encouraging and nice, but would need to see a little bit more before I'm all in on Jansen Junk, despite the 80 grade name.
Yes. Okay, well, let's shift over to a Miami Marlin pitcher in Braxton Garrett, who has kind of set the fantasy world on fire in the past couple weeks. He had the six-inning, 11-strikeout game against the Pirates, then got the Pirates again after break and got the win, six innings, seven Ks, just one earned run on that one, and then went out and had another really good start today, five innings, eight strikeouts at Cincinnati, albeit coughing up some runs there. The swing and miss stuff is starting to look legit, and Garrett is getting grabbed up quite a bit, where he's now 42% rostered. All of that has pretty much come in the past week and a half. What are our thoughts on Braxton Garrett under the hood? Are you seeing anything that excites you here, or is this another one that you might just kind of take a wait and see approach on?
No, I'm very interested in Braxton Garrett. A 24% strikeout rate and a 5.6% walk rate, like, you know, you got me. That's all I need to see. The fastball isn't anything overwhelming, but it's up basically a tick from last year. It's at 91 now, which is a lot more passable than it was like 90, 89 in years past when he made some starts for the Marlins. So I'm highly interested. there just looks like there's, you know, a better, you know, all of his pitches looked improved. And what I like to see the best is that he's throwing a slider now as his primary pitch. That's up to 34%. Last year was at 21%. And, you know, we love to see sort of things like that to back up a jump in K rate. So I am very, very interested in Braxton Garrett. And that slider is allowing just a .216 batting average against and has a 40% whiff percentage. So it's a good pitch. And he pairs it with, you know, a fastball, a sinker, and a you know, curve and changeup that he throws for a combined 15% of the time. So not like he's just like a pure two-pitch guy with that fastball and slider. He's got a few others that he can go to. So I'm really, really interested in Braxton Garrett. I know he was up to 42% in Yahoo. That was, you know, he was up 36% in Yahoo because he pitched today as a stream versus Reds. And, you know, on the surface, it didn't look great, right? The five innings and five runs, but 8Ks, one strikeout. Like, if anyone's dropping him in any leagues, I am, you know, down to spend some fab. And if it's a daily move league or fab over the weekend for Braxton Garrett, I know he was a big ad over the All-Star break, but I really, really like what I'm seeing from Braxton Garrett.
Love it. Yeah, and the road game against the Cubs next, or does he get the Reds again?
I think he gets the Reds again at home and then at Chicago. So better than that, Cincinnati. You know, the Reds have been better overall. Jonathan India seems like he's woken up from his, you know, first 3 month coma after I dropped him. But I really like Garrett, and if he's dropped in any leagues because that subpar surface numbers, five innings, five runs, I'll gladly be scooping him up.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Maybe worth a low-level trade offer as well if a manager is just like ready to cut bait. But let's round out, Steve, with Reed Detmers. This was, man, another kind of tale of two seasons where we all remember the no-hitter, but it was just with like, what was it, one strikeout?
One or two strikeouts,
and it was kind of a head-scratcher because he's had such good strikeout numbers all through the minors and just a really big name when he got the call up. And then we kind of all looked at him as kind of a vanilla pitcher until he did some work in the minors. And it really looks like it is coming through. His season line overall is kind of balanced out nicely with a 384 ERA, a 107 whip, and 63 Ks in 70 innings. But talk about kind of the new Reed Detmers, Steve, and what you're seeing with this potential breakout, really.
Yeah, Michael Simeone, SP Streamer, wrote up for his Throwing Heat series on Fangraphs Detmers today. It was a nice job there, and just talked about his recent starts. And it comes down to the new slider. I think he had a rehab start or a minor league start a few weeks ago where he broke out his old slider grip. The velo's increased, and he's getting the whiffs now. Like, that's what was missing, like, all year. Like, there was, you know, he had that pretty rainbow curve and, you know, the elite K rate in the minors last year that had us all so excited about it. And he just could not get the whiffs at the major league level. But this new slider grip or new old slider grip seems to be the key. The last three starts, a 106 ERA, a .94 whip, and a 29.2% strikeout percentage. That is what we were hoping for Reed Detmers. And it looks like this new slider has been the key to it. So, yeah, Detmers is basically a must-add, probably for the pitchers, my biggest must-add of anyone that we talked about.
Yeah, I think to build on the slider, it's pretty close in terms of, like, velocity to his changeup, and the location swath is, like, really similar, too. And I'm not sure if there's, like, any tunneling or anything that goes on with that, but the changeup has skyrocketed on whiffs in July as well. Yep. From like a 14%, yeah, 14% whiff rate on the changeup. League average is 25, 14% in June, up to 40% in July over his last three starts. So yeah, it seems like it started with the slider, but it's now all clicking, and the fastball velocity is also ticking up from 92.4 in May 93.2 in June and 93.6 in July. So we always talk about those are kind of the magic numbers for fastballs when you're in between like 91 miles per hour and 93. Uh-huh. And once you break through that, it can really play up. So that fastball has a 25% whiff rate in July as well, which for a fastball is very, very good. So yeah, I'm with you, man. I can't believe just 19% rostered. I think Detmers is kind of bordering a must add from the pedigree, how he started the season, how he's paired it with the swing and miss stuff. I think this, we kind of saved the best for last here, especially for pitchers.
Yeah, I love it. Got some breaking news to end the show. The Yankees have acquired an outfielder.
No.
Andrew Benintendi. No.
Oh, my God.
Dude. I'm sorry to tease you like that.
I was about to say the Cardinals are leading the race right now for Soto. I thought you were going to Yankee me.
I did you dirty there. But wow. No, the Benintendi, first. Yeah, Benintendi. For three minor league pitchers, but they got Andrew Benintendi. I guess that means no more at-bats for Joey Gallo, which I'm sure Yankee fans will be more than happy to hear about.
Yeah, all the tweets out there about, like, trade predictions and Gal is just DFA next to his. I'm like, oh, we'll see. Steve, close out. You know, if anyone's with us this long, you know, they're willing to talk about it. But talk to me. You know, we love the home leagues. Are you making the playoff push? How's it going there?
Yeah, I'm currently in the playoffs. Only like 9 games back of first. Been around that area like all season, but. I texted you. I guess I made two gigantic trades. One of them was for Juan Soto. So your boy did get traded, just in not in a real life league. And also took a shot of buying low on Devers since he's on the IL.
Those are trades, dude. And well played to you. I mean,
My offense has just been so bad. I gave up Machado in the Soto deal. It was essentially Machado and Luis Garcia. Mm-hmm. Plus O'Neill Cruz for Soto, which was I think that's fair value, but you know, I'm basically hoping that Soto gets traded and has a August and September like he did last year, mm-hmm. and that Devers' injury is not serious. He hit today, so hopefully it's just the minimum stint for him.
Remind me who you dealt to acquire Devers.
That was Bell and That's Jordan right. Montgomery.
Josh Bell and Monty, yeah.
Yeah.
So were those managers you dealt with lower in the standings? Or are they like locked
yes.
up in the...
Yes, okay. The Soto manager was in last, so like that's why you did like, you know...
Multiple pieces.
I wouldn't say that was... You know, Machado is not a quarter. It's not essentially a four quarters for a dollar. Machado's
yes.
You know, close to a first rounder, if not a first rounder. Bat, I would consider him this year as well, but sort of just banking on Soto being like hopefully the best fantasy player for the next 2 months, which if he gets traded I think he could be. So we'll see.
Love
there
it. Little insight. Yep. I'm hanging around. I'm in fourth or third place in my home league out of 14th, so in the playoff push, but I don't know, man. I'm starting to get
and I was talking with King Hiccupo again. Shout out to him on Discord. Like, especially when your team is in a slump, like fantasy baseball is absolutely brutal.
Oh, dude, like Ronald Acuna, man. Tough. Like, what's going on? Eight homers. Talk to me. Yeah. If you're on anybody else's team, you wouldn't have a 755 OPS. But yeah, a lot of these other guys, though. And like I said, this is a great show for me because I got Stanton on the IL, so I'm shopping. So I'm always happy with that. But
yeah, who's your hitter you're thinking of adding? You know, we got a few hours till this show comes out as we're recording it, so you don't need to spoil anything for your league mates. Man. But
I honestly thought Naylor was out there, and I was going to do a little bonus segment on him.
Oh, that would have been my
live ad, all the stuff, and then an hour before the show started, Candelario got scooped up as well. So I don't know, man. I could go Bryson Stott. The only other guys on this, Renjifo is available.
No Urias. Yeah, he probably got scooped up.
Yep, no Urias. Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, Robles and Sierra, but I've got steals pretty well covered almost every week. So I'm looking for popping. What killed me is I almost last night I almost said, oh, I'll just slot in Rowdy Tellez because he's my guy and I need a fill-in. And he had the double dong with six RBIs.
You know what's great? How much of Tellez's production can be narrowed down to like five games?
Yes.
It's insane.
That's a great tweet, dude.
He's had at least, I know his last four home runs essentially have come in two games and they've all been like three run homers. So, and in between that, he essentially does nothing. So like, that's why he's such a frustrating player to roster. It's so hard to nail those games. You basically just have to hope and sit around for that one game that you get. But who knows? He's gone on extended stretches before, like in the early in the year where he had a few days with some home runs. But more recently, it's been a frustrating roster for our boy Rowdy there. I know we talked about him a lot on this show.
Well, round me out, Steve, on this, because the kind of the bashers that are available, Jock Peterson, Patrick Wisdom, Isak Paredes, and Mountcastle, Bellinger, like, you know, everyone's either cold or, like, Mountcastle, it's surprising he's out there, but
yeah, that is surprising.
He's one for his past 18 and five for his last 35. Like, it's just tough to pick that up.
He strikes out so much that there is, you know, a lot of up and down. Like, that's his profile, right? Like, remember last year he started off so cold and then got really hot, and same with this year. I think his June was really good and now his July is cold, so it's hard to find that upswing. I'm surprised Jock is out there. His underlying is good. I know he hasn't been as hot recently, but who knows? The Giants are on like a 7-game losing streak and, you know, falling further out of it by the day, so I wonder if like Jock and Colas Rodon could be guys that go on the move, and Jock could really benefit from a better ballpark and lineup and have a run like he did in the beginning of the year.
Yep. Well, I'm sure I'll be bugging you offline about this, but
love it.
You get some much needed sleep over there, Steve, and to our viewers, hopefully you guys enjoyed kind of the rapid fire players to add late season episode 66. Always love having you guys on. You guys can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I'm at @Van_verified and Steve is at @Stav8818. Steve, I know it's a grind, man, but July wrapped up. It was a blast as always.
Yeah. Yep. Playoffs are starting, stretch run starting, making some pushes in like turf and some NFBC leagues, which is nice. So we'll get the excitement going, you know, once we get through these sort of dog days here and have a stretch run for the playoffs and stuff. So
our teams are going to get hot and we'll be like, dog days anymore.
That really is what it comes down to. My whole mood just in general is so much worse when my team isn't performing. It's sad. My poor wife.
We're going to right the ship, folks. Yeah. And hopefully the same happens for you. But thanks for tuning in as always, guys. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Thanks for talking baseball with us, guys. Later.